Welcome to the FT Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 19th of December, and I'm recording at 10:10 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, being away yesterday, I missed the fireworks, but it was predictable that we were going to get some volatility, and we certainly had it yesterday. I thought Bernanke played his hand beautifully on that tapering decision. I think the first thing, which certainly helped the rally a lot, was that he did not commence tapering this month. And I felt there was an inertia factor there, which I mentioned in earlier audios. And, you know, were they going to do it just before Christmas and New Year and so on? Well, no, he didn't. Also, he ended the uncertainty because he moved it over to January. And I think a lot of people who were either short or I think a bigger group who had perhaps or felt they had a little bit too much money on the sidelines said, wait a minute, we've got another 4 weeks to go here before we have to actually to worry about that. And it led to some hasty buying. I suspect most of that buying occurred yesterday and that we're not likely to get a whole lot of additional follow through to the upside, but that could be too cautious. And I look at the charts, and just as I've said before, there is certainly no evidence yet that Wall Street's bull run is over. It has been remarkably consistent. Yes, it's overextended. And yes, we're overdue for a mean reversion, and we're not going to go for another 500 plus days without a 10% correction on Wall Street. I don't think we'll go for another 100 days without a 10% correction on Wall Street, but it's not evident on the charts here just yet. And I would also add that I think that the healthiest thing, though, that the market could do would be to go quiet and either range sideways or more likely range sideways and somewhat lower and go back to the moving averages. Okay, so what happened in here today? Wall Street was just about unchanged. The Dow ended up less than a tenth of a percentage point. The S&P ended down, but it was less than a tenth of a percentage point. And the NASDAQ, that was down 0.29 of a percentage point, but obviously no big action. And it's impressive that those U.S. indices actually held in here quietly today. Following such dramatic gains that we saw yesterday. Elsewhere, Canada was a bit firmer, just under 0.5%. Mexico just over 0.25% higher. Brazil up over 2%, which is a good bounce. Euro area had some good gains in here today, no doubt about it, and the biggest that I see looks like it's the Spanish IBEX index, and that's up 2.34%. But hey, it was all solid. Sweden, OMX, that's up over 2%. Switzerland, which had been lagging somewhat, up 1.87%. They're all sizable gains here, and that Stoxx 50 index up 1.88%. And Japan, one of our favorites right since the beginning of the year, up 1.74% in here right now. That's matching the S&P almost exactly at in US dollar terms, and of course in yen terms it's a whole lot higher. And so Japan, it's still We've got the Nikkei up at 15,859. Now that's just below the June high, or was it the May? No, sorry, it was the May high. It's just below the May high, which was just below 16,000. So it's very close. It's the Nikkei is at its highest level since that May high last year, from which it had a huge downside. It was very overextended and had a huge downside key day reversal. Now, I noticed that the TSE2, that's that second section Japanese index, while steady up near its highs, it's actually slightly underperforming the Nikkei right now, and usually it leads. So it just makes me think there's a possibility that it might take a little longer for Japan to break decisively upwards. But well, let me put it this way: the Nikkei's got to get above that 16,000 level, hold it, consolidate up around that region, and then push ahead again. It will do that, but is it going to do it this month, or is it going to take somewhat longer? Either way, I maintain that an overweight position in Japan is still a good idea here overall. Now, China, which I think is certainly an attractive situation for the medium term, but gosh, I've been feeling that way about it for the medium term, and it hasn't happened yet. Soft in here today, down about 1% on the main indices. So the Shanghai Composite is falling back towards its November reaction lows. It's range bound, but again, we want to see another upward dynamic as those, well, soon, as those November lows are actually being replaced, actually being retested. But this is the Shanghai Composite, of course, that I'm talking about. And it's cheap, but most of Japan's indices are cheap. For instance, Shanghai Composite Index, it's about 10.5 times earnings, and that's estimated earnings as well. And it's also yielding nearly 3%, so hardly an overvalued market in this environment. And no, are people a little bit too bearish about China? Well, I currently think so, but I've got to classify it in the same way as I have before. It's a medium-term recovery candidate, but Japan, the developed market, is the one that's in form here today. And what else to mention? India was lower here today after a good start. Early on, but then it weakened somewhat. My concern about India is that we had the excitement with the elections, and that was really very, very good news for India. But those were only the preliminary elections that we had earlier this month, and you know that leaves a lot of time for thumb twiddling and concerns about other little issues that can and are inevitably going to go wrong in a number of instances. Between now and whenever that election occurs, it has to occur by May of next year. But I certainly don't think the Congress Party will be calling an earlier election. So again, we're going to have to wait for that. But I do think as we get closer to the election, if we find that Narendra Modi has a clear and his party have a clear lead, as I suspect will be the case, that India will be strengthening once again, but probably take a little bit more patience overall. Elsewhere, long-dated government bonds. A lot of people have been saying that it's really a triumph for the Fed here that the U.S. 10-year did not move up sharply following the announcement yesterday on tapering in January. Well, I'm glad that the 10-year didn't surge higher, but I think it's a little too soon to claim victory in here, because the 10-year yield did move up, and it moved a bit higher here today. It's closed off the highs, but it's nearly at 2.93 on that 10-year yield. And as you will no doubt recall, early September we saw the high, which was just a fraction above the 3% level. And Owen and I have been describing this as a medium-term consolidation before we see the yields move higher. And I have also maintained in a number of these audios that a move above 3%, and don't be surprised, you know, if it gets up to 3% and then sort of hovers around that area for a while, but again, a clear break above the 3% level, and that will cause some concern among equity investors, and it'll cause some concern among mortgage paying homeowners and so on. Now, that is going to happen, but is it going to happen this month? It could. Or is it going to take a little bit longer? Will the Fed be able to push that down a little bit? Well, yes, in theory, they should be able to do that. But if you want a canary in the coal mine here in terms of Wall Street's outlook, keep your eye on this U.S. 10-year government bond yield. It's a very, very important chart. Now, elsewhere, firm dollar in here again today, and on the U.S. dollar index, that's up to 80.61, and the tapering is definitely a bullish factor for the U.S. dollar overall, and the dollar has been. If you take it on the last 20 years, you know, the dollar's at a really quite competitive rate down here. My feeling is that the Fed will want to keep the dollar down and range bound, certainly for a while longer, until the U.S. Economic recovery is more firmly established, stronger and more firmly established, and that will definitely take a little while, but I think it will happen. But the dollar is pushing upwards against a number of currencies. I think we will see the dollar higher against the Canadian dollar, and Owen has talked about that recently. We will see it higher against the euro. In other words, well, the euro has rallied up to in the last couple of months, it's rallied up to that sort of 138 level against the U.S. dollar, and it's at 136.66 in here today. So it's a steady in here overall today. But I do think that the trend is likely to be of dollar appreciation against the euro over the medium term, but the one that interests me the most is against the yen, because we currently stand at 104.25 yen against the U.S. dollar. So that's an upside breakout for the dollar against the Japanese yen, and the thing is that with tapering commencing next month, if that underpins the U.S. dollar as it's likely to do here overall, then that makes it easier for the Japanese to get their rates somewhat lower, and I think that'll be bullish for Japan. The consequence of that, though, is that we can be sure that a number of those Asian currencies, other Asian currencies, I'm thinking particularly of some of the smaller countries. I think it's probably pretty much everybody but China. China seems determined to keep the renminbi strong here right now. But the other currencies, I would expect them to soften somewhat against the U.S. dollar. And as I've said, that the weakness of the yen is certainly a contributing factor to that overall. Now, last but not least, and that stronger dollar is certainly a headwind for precious metals. And they've been hammered in here today. And as I speak, we've got the spot gold price is now down to $1,188, so below that $1,200 level. So this is right on that previous low. And I'm just putting up that chart to make sure we haven't gone through that low. I'm pretty sure we haven't just yet, but it certainly looks like that's going to happen. Well, put it this way, this is a new closing low, and it's also occurring well within a very clear overall downward trend for gold bullion. So really, since the third week of November, when we saw the gold price begin to steady a bit and then go in and range sideways, that did create the possibility that we were seeing a support building phase in the region of the low, but it was still all for the bulls to prove, because you'd expect some, at least some temporary support near that June, end of June low. But we didn't get much in the way of overall upward dynamics. And today we've had a downward break, a clear downward break. So the obvious point here is that gold will need at minimum to close back above the highs that we saw just a couple of weeks ago, actually. And that's the higher side of the range. And that was about 1268, make it 1270. So minimum a move back above 1270 to indicate a downside failure here. But the odds are, given the overall downward trend and this additional break that we've seen today, the odds are that precious metals are going to be pushed somewhat lower. That will make them more interesting, but I would still be careful here in the short term. Now, interestingly, silver has held up somewhat better in here today, although it doesn't, it certainly doesn't look strong, because it's, but it is still within its range, and it's slightly further above the June low. But platinum is looking very much like the overall gold chart. So weigh it all up. The balance of evidence here is that we are going to go lower. And a repeat for gold, silver, and platinum, the minimum we need to see is breaks above the highs that we saw earlier in this month. And those would be breaks above the range highs. And the ranges have been, these have been ranging for just over a month here right now. But the probability is that that's all for the bulls to prove. The probability is that we're going to get some follow through here on the downside, and that could be a sharp sell off if we don't get those upward dynamics in the next few days. Okay, what else to mention? That's certainly the main story in commodities. Industrial metals are mixed in here today, and the Energy contracts, they're a little bit firmer today. The WTI is up just under a dollar. It's at 98.77. And the Brent is back above the $110 level. It's $110.19 as I speak. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.